Because you just said that you signed the non-disclosure just recently, basically, not before when she was WhatsApping you and all this stuff is happening. When she was sending you photos of herself, was that her face was included in the photo?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
She showed and her real name. You know her real name or you?
I don't know her real name. It was under a name. When the broker spoke of her, they spoke about her in her name. So I'm assuming it was her name. She showed me a picture of her face. She didn't hide anything, this lady. You know, I deleted all those pictures. I deleted all the conversations because I was just like, I didn't want to have nothing to do. I cannot feel like this. Might be some trouble coming from it. I just didn't want to have nothing to do with them. So I deleted it. And when the other day, reason why I approached you was because you did the interview with Jordan. And the same day when I watched that interview, I am part of a stewardess group, and one of the girls started posting a conversation that she had with the same guy about a stewardess position. He is looking for a first, second, and third stew for that vessel. And then I realized I have to voice it. I have to speak to somebody about it. And that's why I approached you, because, you know, somebody's gonna fall into that trap. Right. And I wouldn't like this to happen.
Well, I mean, and the reality is that when they're approaching people through social media, they're not being upfront about it. You know, they're not saying, hey, you know, this is a special program where, you know, such and such thing is included. You know, if this is something that resonates with you, please apply. You know what I mean? Yes, no, they yes. just say, oh yeah, Shih Tzu, of course a bunch of Shih Tzus are going to apply because who wouldn't?
Yes.
And then they go like, tricking you into becoming an escort for them, basically. Yes. Which I just really don't understand. Why in the world would they not just go and actually pay for a real escort, you know, versus approaching, you know, stewardesses and tricking them into becoming one, right?
Yeah.
And like you say, you know, a lot of people are desperate. A lot of people are in fear of not finding a job, you name it. And they, even though their gut is telling them this is not something I should do, the fear is also pushing them to say, oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. You know, maybe it's just, I just have to look at her, you know, and tell her she's pretty and that's it. But the reality is that
I think exactly the same. I was just like, you know what? It's a good money. I mean, 7,000 euros on a 45 meters. I said, I can sit on the bed and watch her bathing. I don't have a problem with it. I told her I don't want to touch her. And I am off her limits. There will be nothing sexual. I asked her actually if she's a lesbian, you know, and she said to me, no, I'm married. I have a children. It's just, it's the fetish that I have. But I think I draw my line when she asked me, what would you do if I would like to pleasure myself in front of you? And I would be like, that's it. You know, like, I wouldn't like to be.
This is the thing, you know, like, you don't really know who these people are.
Yeah.
You may say, okay, yeah, I can deal with that. And then get there. And the story may be completely different because one, who knows, you may be actually get trafficked. Two, things might get out of hand and you may be approached to actually, you know, have some sort of physical sexual interaction with the person. And, you know, it might be something that you don't want to do, but you may be forced to do it. You don't know, right? Like, there's so many things that could potentially happen if somebody takes the job. So she said that somebody had already been in that job. Did you ask what happened to that person and why she left that job?
Yes, she said to me that she had a person last year. She had somebody and that was her job. And I asked her, exactly tell me what she was doing. And then she told me, you know, she was preparing my lingerie for me. She was watching me when I was bathing. She would put a body lotion on my body, preparing me for the night, and things like. But she had to leave, and that was all what she said. I think obviously you being you know, you're being attracted by the money, but you know, when I recently spoke to the boat manager, we started talking about salary. You know, something that raised the red flag for me during the conversation with him was, he said to me, how much did she offer you? And I said, well, she offered me 7,000 to start with. And he said to me, oh, this is way too much. You cannot make that money. And I said, why not? Well, if she is the owner of the boat and she's wishing to pay me that money, it shouldn't be a reason. And then he said to me, if captain's going to find out how much money she's offering you and also the crew, this is not going to be good. And I said, well, if she is the owner of the boat, she knows the budget, and she makes those decisions. I don't think it's up to the crew to know how much money I'm making. And then he said to me, maybe we will pay you into your account 5,000 a month, and then another 2,000 she will pay from your account. And I said, no. I want to sign, if for any reasons I will be working with you guys, I'm going to sign a contract where there will be my salary stated, and every month I want that amount being sent into my bank account, you know. I didn't like it. And when I told her that, she kind of say, I will pay you more, and I will pay you from my pocket. I don't know if they have idea of...
You said something, you know, the captain, right? Where is the captain in all this?
So I asked for having a conversation with the captain, because last year when they purchased the boat, they apparently purchased the boat with the captain. I asked to speak to him because he is my captain, you know, he is my superior at the end of the day. And they said to me, you don't have to speak to him, because you will be speaking directly to madam, basically. Captain is
so basically you don't answer to the captain, you only answer to the owner.
Yes, that's correct. And that's something I don't like, you know, at work. I think there will be lots of problems if you're being hired by the owners and you have that power with the owners above the captain and the rest of the crew members. It's going to create a lot of sparkles within the team. I explained them that I wanted to be done properly with a contract and with having conversation with captain. And they say he is a very nice guy, but he has nothing to say when it comes to hiring the crew. If I was hired, I was also the one who would be hiring the girls. And the word kind of came out as preparing them for what they're going to be experiencing. So there would be girls who are on a tougher side, not so sensitive. Basically, it's kind of like grooming them for the owners, you know.
So basically, the girls would also be exposed to everything that you are going to do.
Probably, yes. I didn't go into all those details with them. But, you know, we had a conversation with her when she mentioned she would like to have somebody who is open-minded and tolerant, will be tolerant to her behavior, and it won't run away screaming, you know?
Right. Okay, yeah. So you said that she was married and she had kids. Yes. How does that fit into the picture? Do they not come into the vessel?
Was that something? He said that she lives this life. The boat is her boat. It's under her name. She is the only person visiting the boat.
Okay, so this is like the double life kind of thing happened.
Probably, yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, this just when I hear this, it just the name of the Epstein guy just like comes up for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is literally the same shit, you know? Yeah. So what, obviously this has been approached by people that are certainly knowing the industry, the management company and the manager. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people may be questioning themselves is, have you approached maybe like the Facebook group, or maybe the port stay where the management company is or the boat is, to put this, you know, into their hands and say, hey, this is happening, just keeping an eye, you know, just so they can maybe start investigating, right? Because this may look like XY scenario, which is total red flags, but it could even be worse than what we can imagine right now, right?
I haven't, you know, I haven't spoke. The only people I spoke to about it, it's a like literally handful, like maybe three or four of my best friends. And that was during that time that I told them about it. Some of them, and they all work in yachting, and they, some of them they thought it's hilarious. Some of them they thought it's wrong, but you know, we didn't care. Nobody came with the idea of reporting it. I didn't know. I didn't feel it's actually, it's serious enough. I did my own digging a bit regarding that boat manager. I found his company. I found his profile on Instagram, you know, just to ensure myself that he does exist. And, you know, I've been working in this industry for 7 years right now, and somebody told me it's fake, you know, that the madam doesn't exist. It's just a guy behind somebody else's face and stuff like this. But I didn't believe it. And I still believe that lady exists, that perverted person. I mean, it's her own life. I shouldn't be judging, you know, but she does exist. And there will be girls applying for the jobs at the end of the day, and there will be girls willing to work. But I've seen myself having a prostitutes on board, you know, on charter, off charter. I've worked for the owners that they had wife on board, and a week later the mistress was coming, and another mistress, and then five prostitutes, and it was ongoing for the whole season. And we witnessed that. There are some people that are lucky enough to work on a decent boat with normal families and program, but some of us, we do witness those things, and those things are happening. You witness, you know, a human trafficking on board. I've had girls that they were extremely young looking coming on board in Cannes. And before when we brought them in a tender, I was just like, oh my God, they look 16 years old. And what I did, I went to them and I asked them for the IDs, because I told them, if we're going to give you an alcohol, you have to be 18 or over. It's just an excuse. And they were just 18. All of them, they just turned 18 that year. But they pick up some guys in Cannes, you know, in a beach club, that they were in their 40s and 50s, that they hired the yacht for a whole week, and they came on board to party with them, you know. And we were all worried, and we were all just like, oh my God, they are so young. Luckily, those girls, they were smart enough not to do anything with them besides drinking wine and taking pictures. And the guy realized they're not going to get any favors from them. And they basically politely kick them off the boat. We have to bring them back to the shore. But it is happening. You hear the stories about girls being trafficked.
I mean, luckily, these girls didn't get raped, you know, because sometimes if you put yourself in that position, you don't really have a choice whether you're going to give the favor or not. It's going to be taken from you whether you want it or not. And I think this is, you know, this is a very important topic, because this is happening all the time under our noses, in front of our faces. We most of the time just look to the side. We say, oh, that's none of our business. But, you know, it is your business, because you have licenses, you know, especially captains and deck department. You know, they have licenses that can compromise their careers if something does happen on board because of this behavior. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, the moral compass. I feel like for so many crew members, they literally have just basically put their moral compass on the back pocket, just or throwing off board, and just have no sense of right or wrong. And it's just like this one thing of, it's none of my business, I'm not going to get involved. But the problem is that you are getting involved, because you are there. So you are involved and you are part of the problem, right? Because you're saying this behavior is okay. So I'm going to, you know, by keeping our mouth shut and saying like, oh yeah, well, that's not in my business, you're basically saying this behavior is okay when you know it's not, right? And we always have the choice of, okay, well, maybe I didn't know this is what was happening on board, because maybe I didn't ask the right questions on the interview, or maybe they didn't tell me if you did ask. But then once you're there, you can always choose to not be part of that, right? And a lot of the times we just keep our mouth shut and we just continue to do our job. But in our descriptions, none of that is part of our job. And those are not our duties, period.
Yes. Yes.
So even if that's like their household private bullshit, it's still a vessel. Mm. It's not a private home.
Home.
Yes. And even if it was, there are laws. You know, like if you go to land and this happens, what do you think is going to happen? Like if somebody goes and tell the police or somebody, you know, like there are laws, and so do we have laws and rights on at sea, you know, but a lot of us don't even know them. So
I think over the years, we are growing that kind of thick skin and we became immune to certain situations that are happening on board. As you say, we're turning a blind eye to it. But and I thought it's nothing serious, you know, it's okay. It happened to me. It's a good story to tell, you know, around the friends, it's a good laugh. But when I saw those messages from the girls, you know, that they being approached again, and maybe I am thick skinned and I could handle it, but they will be a girls that they, you know, they don't have that life experience. They are in their early 20s. They're trying to break into the industry and, you know, they will fall into that trap. They will apply for a job. They will get a job and they will stay on board. And somebody will tell them, oh, no, it's a part of yachting. You know, we work for those rich people and you sign non-disclosure, you sign your contract and you have to keep your mouth shut. And they don't know the rights. They don't know which route to go. Should I open my mouth? Well, I can't because I signed the contract. They're going to threaten me with the lawyers at the end of the day. Well, should I tell somebody from the authorities? You also don't do it. So it's a very difficult situation for us. I think it's kind of catch 22 as well. You want to keep your job, but you have to be witness of, you know, all those things. At the end of the day, we have a choice whether we want to be part of it or not.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing. It's like, great, you want to keep your job, but is that what you stand for? You know, is that what you're a yes for? Because if you're a yes for rape, if you're a yes for trafficking, if you're a yes for all that shit, cool, stay with the boat. That's your choice. But if you're not, you have to know that you have a choice. And there's plenty of different boats floating that will bring you on board and give you a safe environment to work on, because this is not your duty. This is not yachting. This is something within the yachting industry. It is not what our jobs entitle, right? And this is a very important point, because people think, oh, this is, you know, this is part of yachting. This is part of your job. It is fucking not, period. Doesn't matter how the fuck you want to look at it, it's not. It is not part of your job. It is a choice.
Yeah. I heard those excuses so many times over the years as that this is yachting. This is part of your job. This is who we are.
That little phrase basically allows us to not feel guilty. Mm. About what we're actually fucking witnessing.
Yes.
You know? And it also gives us a sense of entitlement to the fear that we're having of why we're choosing what we're choosing, right? Of staying on board, doing all this stuff. Like, I remember when, you know, obviously like you, I witnessed a lot of prostitution. I witnessed a lot of things until one day it just hit me. And I was like, I don't want to be part of this anymore. Like, this is not my job. Like, I didn't sign a contract in order for see the owner fuck somebody else in front of me. You know what I mean? And orgies happening in front of me while I'm like trying to serve fucking eggs and orange juice, you know? So it's fucking ridiculous. It's crazy, right? And yeah, it doesn't make a good story. Yeah, absolutely it does. But at the end of the day, it only makes a good story because nothing bad had happened.
Yes.
Right? But the fact is that something bad was happening. Mm. People were being trafficked because most of the prostitutes are not fucking escorts that say, hey, I want to be this. No, they have been trafficked before. And now, you know, they're pushed to do this.
Yeah.
And we don't understand that, you know? And it's like, do you really think she was trafficked when she was 20? No, she was probably trafficked when she was 11, you know? Yeah. So we really, you know, and I think that comes back to what you were saying, you know, that moral compass. And I think, you know, maybe that comes with time and that comes with, you know, you growing, you know, and self-development and finding that encouragement and empowerment within yourself to speak up, right? Because a lot of people in the industry, they do have a voice, but they're not empowered to use it yet.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid.
I think also it comes to being afraid of being judged as well. You know, right. I'm honestly, I'll tell you, I'm afraid of people judging me, you know, saying, oh my God, you know, she even was talking to them. Oh, she actually was thinking about taking this job. Right. I know people will judge me. Well, I don't care at the end of the day. It's my life, you know. I don't do this interview for a fame or anything like it. I want to make sure that the girls are safe out there, you know. That's why if, you know, in a group that we have on WhatsApp, I speak to the girls. I say, just guys, just speak to me, message me. If that's the same guy, let's make it, you know, not public. We cannot make public all the information about him, but at least in our group, so we are aware. I mean, there's 270 stewardesses in our group, and you know, it's a small community. We do spread the word and we help each other a lot, and I'm happy to help those younger girls as well, so they're not gonna make, it's not a mistake I made, because luckily, you know, I get to the point when I was just like, when she messaged me in the middle of the night asking for sensual pictures, I was just like, okay, I don't care about anything anymore. I just want this woman out of my life and this guy as well. This is just not going nowhere. It's if I am not working with them already, they wanted me to start in May, and we are, and they already going so hardcore on me. What is going to happen in the middle of the season when I will be on that boat? That was my question. You know, what they gonna expect from me?
And I mean, this is like you assuming again, right? Because this is all assumptions, because we don't really know who's behind all this.
Exactly.
This is you assuming that this person does exist, that she has some sort of fetish stuff, and you know, this is what's happening. But you don't really know until you get there, right? And if you get there, you might not be able to share your story, because who knows what will happen to you. So this is the biggest point of this. It's like beyond whatever story whoever's watching this, you're thinking of, you have to look at the bigger picture. Like this is a predator behind a screen.
Yes.
Trying to find women who are willing to take money, fly to a place, and we don't know what could happen to them, because we don't even know what has happened to some of them.
Yeah.
Because we just don't know, right? They're not here to talk about it. So, exactly. You know, we have to look always at the bigger picture. It's like, okay, we're assuming this is the story they're telling us. That may not be a real story at all.
Yeah.
Right? Because they were very like, oh, fly here now.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll send you the money, right?
It could be something behind, something bigger. It could be something smaller.
But you don't know.
But there is a story. There are people who are doing this, who are approaching the girls right now because they're looking for somebody to start working in May. And it wasn't just me. It was other girls, complete strangers, that it just came out in the conversation. And when I put two and two together, it was the same guy. You know, so that's why
my approach to this right now, if you're watching the show and you know what Eva is talking about, and you have seen the post of this person approaching, you know, us to give us a job, please report it to the admin of the group. So at least they can ban them from continuing to use their group to what do you call it, to recruiting us. You know, if you're not willing to talk to the authorities or whatever, that's okay. You know, we respect your decision. But something so simple as approaching the Facebook group that this is happening and just saying, hey, this is the person, this is the post, can you please make sure they're banned from the group? This is nothing new. This happens all the time. So, but we need to take, you know, it is us that has to tell these people, because there's thousands of posts every day. There's hundreds of posts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who knows what's real, what's not? Only the people that go through this stuff, you know? Yeah. So I think it is our duty to also stop them to in some way or another, right? There's many ways to approach this, you know, but that is one very simple way, right?
Yeah. I mean, Facebook at the moment, social media is such a massive platform. There's so many groups. I've seen, you know, there are the girls, especially when we're looking for a job right now, we also advertising ourselves that we're looking for a job. And this also came up in a group. The men are approaching us, you know, messaging us, sending a picture of the penis and all sorts of things. This all coming up in the conversations that we had with the stewardesses. And we actually, in that group, we're posting the pictures of that guy, you know, just in case if one of us will get approached, you know, we advise each other how to deal with him. Because of social media, I mean, it's just becoming a circus right now. And it's a massive platform for all those perverted, lonely guys, you know, to approach us.
And women, because if this woman doesn't...
there's lady too. Them. Yeah, exactly. I cannot now genderize. True. Yeah, there are women and men, and we just have to be more careful at the moment.
Yes. So please, you know, like Eva was saying, if you have that feeling like this is not okay, and you know it's not okay, like make sure you don't go forward with the job. Even if you're fearful of not getting a job, even if you are in need of money, like, come on, go work at McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, do something else, but safety first. Always reach out to people. You can reach out to me, or you can reach out to Karine from the Crew Coach. You can reach out to Ice One, you know, the yakcrewhelp.org. There's so many different people that you can reach. You know, there's Sandra from the Yak Purser. You know, there's so many different things that you can do. There's captains. You can even, you know, write it on the Facebook groups. Like, hey, you know, this is happening to me. I need advice. And there's plenty of people that are willing to give free advice and support us, you know, because they want us to be safe. They want the crew of yachts to be safe. You know, this is a very unique industry because of the privacy of it and the ridiculous legal loopholes that it has. So at the end of the day, it is up to us as yacht crew to keep safe and to help each other, right? And create that community and that sense of safety among each other.
Yeah. I think also us as a female, we have that intuition. And I would say, listen to it. If you have an interview, if you go into interview process and there are questions that are being asked and something raises a red flag and you're already thinking, okay, this is not right. Yes, your intuition is telling you already it's not right. Listen to it. You know, if they're asking you for a picture in a bikini, as I heard from the girls, or sensual picture or anything like it, nobody's asking you. If they're asking you of full body picture, it's because some boats are asking for skinny girls. They all have to look the same. If you are wider on the hips, you're not gonna get a job over there. It is, you know, that's the business, that's the nature of yachting. And if you send a professional picture wearing a pants and a blouse, I've done it before because they wanted to see if I'm really small size, you know.
for the skirt, or I've asked the girls previously, what size are you? Because that's the only uniforms we had. We didn't have a bigger. We were in the middle of summer, and I had to hire somebody within that size. And it's happening. But if somebody's asking you for a sexual picture, a picture in a bikini or in a sexy dress, you know, can you pull your hair up? Already your intuition is telling you there's something going on there. Do not continue with the interview. Just politely decline. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
None of that is part of the interview. Nothing sexual is part of an interview. Yes. And nothing sexual is part of your job duties. Period.
Exactly.
If they approach you and you say yes, that's your choice, I guess. But it's not your duty and it's not yachting. It is not part of yachting. It's not, you know, what is not the norm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. No, period. So awesome. Well, thank you, Eva, so much for sharing your story, speaking up, you know, empowering us to use our voice, because it's so, so important. I cannot stress this enough. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to talk because they don't want to get in trouble. But like Eva's doing today, you know, she's been anonymous about this and I get it. You know, she has that NDA and other things and it's okay, but that doesn't have to keep her from speaking up and empowering others and making other people safe. So I want to truly thank you.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Coming to the show. And
thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a really great job. I've been following you and your React Mermaids and your podcast for a while. And mm-hmm. and I really appreciate what you're doing for the community. So
thank you.
Kudos to you.
Just, you know, I'm just another girl with a big mouth that wants to speak out loud. So, yeah. And you know, I don't know if maybe it is because... the years I've been in yachting and I have seen so many things and I'm super empowered within myself that I, you know, use my voice so loudly, you know, and I get it. You know, I've been where I didn't feel comfortable using my voice, but there comes a time in your life where you decide to choose differently because doing what you've been doing before is no longer a choice, you know? So yeah, so please keep safe. Please, if you know who this person is and you have information, do whatever you know that you can do to help the cause. Definitely approach the Facebook group's managers or admins so they can stop this person from approaching people on the groups that they manage. And if you have any questions, if something doesn't feel right, just ask. Ask, please ask. There's plenty of people out there that will help you. So, and if you're like Eva and you want to share your story, you want to share your wisdom, you want to speak up, you can click the link below and I'll be happy to record with you a show and spread the wisdom and the love, because this is truly what it is at the end of the day. This is pure love right here.
So, thank you very much.
Okay, guys, this is a wrap for today. Until next time. And that's it. Bye.